I'm Valerio Caruso. I'm director of Cine Europa, and I'm very happy today to record this podcast on EBBA by Johanna Picke. I'm very happy today to have Diveke, René, Mimi, and Maud, the co-producer of the film. So I would like to ask Diveke to briefly present the plot of the film.
Yes, so EBBA is a story about this young 18-year-old Norwegian, quite lonely girl. And it starts with her finding this man wounded in the harbor, unconscious. She finds him really, really beautiful. And she discovers early that he can't remember anything. He has amnesia. And without even thinking, when he wakes up, she lies and tells him that he's her boyfriend. She takes him home to the house where she rents an apartment, but chooses not to take him to the apartment, but to the main house where the house owners are away. And we follow them through the film as he recovers and how her lies are expanded, and also wondering about what is his what does he actually remember and what was his life before.
Diveke, can you tell us briefly about your company? I will then give the floor to the other co-producer to present themselves and their companies.
Yes, so my company is a quite new company who has become a Norwegian co-producer of the film together with Oslo Pictures. My company is called II Pictures. It's a company I have together with my partner, Andrea Berensen Ottmar. Together, we produced Sick of Myself, which was presented in Cannes in Uncertain Regard last year, and also were part of the producer team of The Worst Person in the World. So this is the first film that we are presenting with our new company.
Thank you, Diveke. I can ask Maud Berby.
Hi. As for myself, I have the same pattern than Diveke. I started my own company in 2022. So it's an early born company that co-produces the film with Baptisphère, the company I work with for 6 years. And at Baptisphère, I met Johanna, and I developed the film with Oslo Pictures at this moment with Diveke. And yeah, this is my first feature film as a company.
René, you want to present yourself?
Well, I work together with Diveke in Oslo Pictures, and together we worked on The Worst Person in the World, and also got on board to EBBA with Johanna, which I know from film school, because I went to the same film school as Johanna. And today I'm not working in Oslo Pictures either, but I started a company called True Content Production Norway, which is a collaboration with also a Danish production company. Yeah, and producing it together with Diveke, and looking forward to the next steps for the film.
And then Mimi Spang.
My name is Mimi, and I have the company Garage Film International in Sweden, Stockholm. We have been working since 2007, so there's been quite many features. The most traveled ones are, I think, Call Girl by Mikael Marsman and Sebe by Babak Niafi, and Amateurs by Gabriella Pichler. We also do a lot of co-productions, and we did do Sick of Myself together with Diveke, and this recent year also then EBBA.
The film is a first feature film, which has been co-produced by Eurimage. And I wanted to ask you which have been the challenges of doing this first feature, because you are young companies, yourself you are very young as well. So which have been the challenges of doing the film from all your own perspective and your own country?
One of the main challenges was figuring out how to make the best, I don't know how to call it, framework for Johanna to make this story. It was selected quite early at this new talent, or the old talent scheme, actually, of the Norwegian Film Institute, which meant that she was able to get financing for her film, but that it was going to be a very, very low budget. And the script was very ambitious, and she is a very ambitious director. And at the time when we came on board the project, it was developed for some time before René and I came on as Norwegian producers. And at that point, it was something that we discussed, because the talent scheme of the Norwegian Film Institute had a cap on the budget of 800,000 euros. And then we went into a discussion. Is it possible to expand the budget and to make it as a bigger co-production? So I would say that that was really the first kind of big challenge in how to make, to let her do justice of the script that she had written.
Thank you, Diveke. What have been the challenges for you, Maud? You have a very new company, you say 2022.
Yeah, it's a young company, but actually I discovered Johanna's project, EBA, in 2019, when I was working as a producer for Baptiste Fer, that is who produced Nicolas, who produced Onoda by Arthur Harry, that was supported by Eurimage as well. And I met Johanna and Eba during the short film market. It was a co-production market within the film market in Cannes. And she has her film, short film, The Manila Lover, in Semaine de la Critique, together. And I was aware, I had a meeting with her and the former producer, and we were aware of this 800,000 cap, but there was still this of course this will to find the private money out of Norway. So the first person that was on board was Kofi Nova, the Sofika with Rémi Bura in Arte. And then it was a challenge to keep it low and still to make the co-production interesting anyway, in a, you know, artistic way, artistically, but also financially and economically, because it costs to make co-productions for films that are very ambitious and that don't have this possibility to raise money that much. So this was the main challenge, to figure out how to keep it. But then then things were different in the end. So, because maybe Diveke, you can talk about it, that the rule changed, and so we opened the possibilities of the find money on the in France.
How much you were able to raise in France?
The first was Kofi Nova. Then the film was presented to Arte France Cinema, that has been chosen unanimously. So it was a lower ticket, because it was capped at the beginning. So that's why we had a small input of Arte France Cinema. So it's 100,000 for TV, you know, and 150,000 for co-production. And then a French and sales distributor came on board on the last version of the script, and then Sofika as well, because they believed in the pitch of the project and the strengths they can have worldwide.
Thank you, Maud. Mimi, we come to Sweden. Your company has been created in 2007. So probably you are the most experienced producer in terms of maybe films which has been made. So what have been your challenges in doing this film, and how much did you were able to raise in Sweden?
In this case, we were like a very small co-producer, but a big in that way that Johanna Pykke is Swedish. So it was, I think with that, it was quite easy to convince the Swedish Film Institute that they should be with us on this project. In this case, actually, it wasn't that hard. It sometimes can be, but Johanna is a very interesting director that what was easy to finance, I would say, from Swedish side. And the Swedish Film Institute went in with 1 million Swedish kroners. That's approximately 100,000 euros, I would say. And then we also got a license from the Swedish television. And that was 200,000 Swedish kroners. That's approximately 20,000 euros, I would say. So that's the part from Sweden.
And finally, René?
Well, alongside Dyvika, the challenges with the financing, of course, it was great that we actually could increase the budget. And I remember we made a first draft of how we were going to make it. And sometimes you tend to try and strategize how the financing should be put together because maybe something will fall out. But in this case, everything was positive, and that made us, you know, put together in a very good state. You know, we had other things, elements in the production, because it was just during pandemic when we were working on casting. And trying to find Ivailo, the other character from Romania or Bulgaria, and not being able to travel, and just trying to do some casting tapes over internet is maybe not the best way. But in the end, I have to say we found really nice characters, and we managed to make this cast that we believed in come to Norway. So we could test it together with this really young actor and a first-time actor. So in that sense, it all came together, but it was some challenges still from the pandemic and also putting together the team. Because the financing, it's always like, when should we shoot and when do we greenlight the project? And what state do you greenlight the project? Because we didn't have the answer for Yuri Marsh when we greenlighted the project. So that's also something that we were working on, our case A and B, and having that in mind, how should we prioritize the different things in the production. But in the end, we had a very nice team, and working together also with some Swedish team as well, coming over to shoot in Norway, worked perfect. And we also found this house where a lot of things happens in the film. So even though it was a really rich house, and it's a lot of art, and, you know, it was also an old house. So that's also something we needed to have some plans on. And we found the house actually almost 9 months ahead, just to be able to talk to the owners and also make a good agreement. So we have a flexibility in how the style of the shooting should be and how long time we have to do whatever we want to do. And it was a really good luck that we actually found the perfect location that also was in Johanna's head from the beginning.
Yeah, according to my notes, I have, which it's a co-production of almost 57% Norway, 32% French, and 10% Sweden. And the contribution from Eurimage is 300,000 euros. when this contribution arrived?
It was quite late in the process because we weren't able to set the structure of the co-production in time to apply in fall. So we applied in January, we got the answer in March, and we shot in May. What we did was, as Surinne said, we had a plan A budget and plan B budget in case of receiving the money from Eurimage. And it was very clear where the money should go. It helped giving the prep, I think, a newfound energy from March onwards. But yes, it was a feeling of a bit of a risk in that case.
Can you remember as the development process of the project? Because the project has been presented in many co-production markets, and also he won several prizes, also pitching prizes, I think, in MIA in Rome. And Semaine de la Critique.
Well, it's Johanna has had this idea for a long time, I think, because I remember I started film school in 2015, and she was 1 year above me, and we had this talk about the project. So already then she was talking about this young girl and a guy who didn't have his memory, and it was in a harbor. So it started already there. And she graduated before me, and she, you know, it was even then, you know, Divike wasn't in Oslo Pictures. So it's a lot of things that happened while developing the project. And she went to a company, I think she started developing the project. And she came to Divike and I in Oslo Pictures because she wanted to look into, you know, how to collaborate. And before that, she was pitching in MIA, and that was when we were in dialogue with Johanna, and she also won the prize in MIA, and that also made Arte come on board, or start the dialogue of coming aboard. And Maud, that was also when you started?
MIA was in October, and Cannes was a Next Step program, and so on, was in 2019. So Arte, I can say, because it was a coincidence, Arte came was aware of the project through Remy very early in May. So then he was aware of the project during MIA. And that was the chronology of the different steps.
But I think also for Johanna, she, from the very, very early starts of the development, she really enjoys being part of different labs. She was a part of the TIFF lab in Toronto. It's getting this kind of input from the other participants, sharing the story, getting also, I think, the international insight on the story based in Norway, also based on Norwegian a society, Norwegian class, how we are looked upon from outside, and also how we look on ourselves. And she really wanted that kind of input. When she was in Cannes, of course, being there with Next Step Lab, and she was also presenting with the opportunity of having mentors attached. So she had conversations and got feedback from both Claire Denis and Jane Campion as to the script and as how she wanted to work as a director. And I think for her, it's been this part of the development has been really, really fruitful and something that she wants to continue with her next project.
Are there some markets which are better than other for first feature films, co-production market? We talk about MIA, but there are many others, Sinelin, Sofia.
I've been to MIA market once more with another director. And it was actually, I also pitched it at Göteborg and Haugesund, and also another platform in Norway called Fiction Norway. And I have to say for that project, I also think MIA was the best outcome. I didn't expect that, but it was a very nice platform to have meetings and, yeah.
I feel like it also very much depends on how you want to structure the co-production and who you're actually looking for. If I was looking for France, I would go to Les Arcs maybe instead. And if it's really about finding the right place where the right audience, in a way, is present for the project.
I've been with the latest feature at Les Arcs, and that was really great. I mean, you get the opportunity to meet a lot of interesting distributors and sales and producers, and you know, you can really find everything there. And I've also been, of course, to Cinemart, and I think that also is a really good marketplace to be with your first feature. And of course, I mean, in Gothenburg, you can pitch and find a lot of really interesting sales and distributors also. So I think exactly what Duvika said, actually, it depends on your project. I mean, but of course, you can go to three of them with one feature and actually build the whole structure through that. So I think it's really, they're great places to go.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this podcast with you, with Maud, Viveke, René, and Mimi. And we hope all to see Ebba by Johanna Picke soon in European screens. Bye-bye.